It smells so fucking good.
Cool.
It smells like two orange Fantas and a pineapple slice got in bed and had a whole lot of sex. Fanta, don't you want
Yeah, it looks like Fanta and it tastes like Fanta.
It's exactly what you wanted.
It is kind of.
You're like, actually, I was going for Faygo, but.
It's Fanta. I heard, I don't know if this is true or not. Have you ever heard the story about Fanta and how it came to be?
No. Does it have to do with the five girls all dressed in the different colors?
Are they Nazis? Because it has to do with Nazis, supposedly.
Whoa, did not know that.
I don't know if this story is true. And this
all
is
right, well, maybe if we don't know if it's true, maybe we don't need to be promoting Nazi conspiracy theories.
Well, just that when Coca-Cola wasn't allowed to sell to Nazi Germany because there was a, you know,
because
a war,
they were Nazi Germany?
Yeah, and this American company stopped selling stuff to them. Fanta was created as the soda that could be sold behind enemy lines.
Did you read about this on Reddit? Or
I think I saw it on InfoWars, and, you know, they were like, InfoWars, brought to you by Fanta, Nazi soda.
All right, so equally, all right, so.
No, I don't know. It was something I heard when I was, like, a little kid, and I don't.
So we don't.
There's zero. I have no idea.
All right, well, I will say this. Your Brutal does not smell like Nazi juice.
Thank you.
So let's start the pod?
Yeah. Started the pod. Yeah, so we are drinking a wine I made, which is a little weird. It's a little fun.
Yeah, so we are drinking the Vin di California. Brutal.
2017.
Which is made by our friend here, Adam Vervolis.
And Mikey Joni of Scar of the Sea.
Yes. So I'm really excited to be tasting this wine on the pod. And while it may seem a little incestuous to be drinking Adam's wine as a host of the pod, I really love this wine regardless. And
cheers,
I'm excited. Cheers. And I'm very excited to be talking to Adam about his wine. I'm taking over as host today. Basically, I'm hosting. Adam is guest, which I'm.
We're gonna figure it out.
Anyways. So Adam Vervolis, Adam Vervolis. I'm just starting to say your name very.
You could just do what I used to get a lot was V.
Anyways, I really love this wine. Adam had me taste it about almost, I guess, less than a year ago. But
when was Brumaire?
Well, March. But I feel like I tried it a little bit before then. But yeah. Anyways. So we're
Spoiler, Marissa. I think you're the first. You're the only like every single wine I've made, other than my wife. You are the only other person who gets to taste it. Like,
thank you.
Yeah, there's no one else that I don't know. I wasn't saying.
You can
I don't
just say
know
you
why.
Trust me. Yeah, I'm like maybe it's just because you trust me.
No, it's because I trust you and I want your opinion on and
thank
like, you.
You
know,
I am an authority on the figure. I like how I said I'm an authority on the figure. Heads up, I just did another podcast yelling about Pate, which is a great podcast. Check it out. But we drank like two bottles of wine. So I'm really great right now.
So that's why she thinks my wine is exceptional.
No. I loved Adam's wine anyways. I never permit wines that I don't genuinely love. Like that's my thing. Is like if I don't love something, I don't fucking talk about it. And even before Adam was my co-host on this very, very successful four-star podcast.
4.5. We're 4.5.
It goes back and forth. I love this wine. So, and also too, this is going to tie into our theme for today.
Yeah.
But first, Adam, please tell us about your Vin di California Brutal.
Okay. So it is a Petit Natural style or Pet Nat.
Which, for those of you that don't know, it's when a sparkling wine, it doesn't go through a secondary fermentation, which is usually how it goes. They do one fermentation to make the wine alcoholic, and they do a second fermentation to make the wine bubbly. instead, with Petillant Naturel, what they do is that they take the wine halfway through its first fermentation, bottle it with a crown cap, usually, not always, but mostly, and that causes the wine to continue fermentation in the bottle. The yeast eats the sugar and it farts out CO2, and since it has nowhere to escape to, yeah, it creates bubbles.
But it's a lot of people will say it's funny. It's a lot of people think of, I think, Petillant Naturel as like the first natural wine or like very early wine. It's like a very, but it's also a really difficult wine.
It's very difficult to make.
It's
very risky. So
I have no idea why, but we were very, I mean, I know why. I made this wine with someone named Mikey Gioni of Scar of the Sea. And he is a bit of a phenom when it comes to sparkling wines.
Yeah, the Scar of the Sea sparkling, I believe it's a Chardonnay.
Yeah, it's a Chardonnay.
Fucking incredible.
And so I shouldn't say I don't know, but like
he
knows sparkling and gets it. And this was also, this was an experiment for him too, because a lot of this was like not like lab tests. This was all like by feel and by sort of, because I wanted to be like, let's just fucking go with it. Let's just see how, let's like ride this wave. So it was a lot of just sort of, like I said, guessing kind of, and just hoping and tasting, as opposed to, like I said, getting labs back about residual sugar and stuff like that.
So and where is it from and what's the varietal?
So it's 100% Grenache. It's from Placerville, which is Northern California, about 3 hours, 2.5 hours east of San Francisco in El Dorado County.
Cool.
From a winery called Narrowgate, which is owned by Frank and Tina.
Shouts to Frank and Tina.
Yeah, I'm blanking on their last name. Hold on.
I'm like, it's obviously Tina Belcher from Bob's Burgers.
No, sorry. It's Frank and Tina Hildebrand. That's Frank and Tina.
Not Belcher.
Hildebrand. They are husband and wife, obviously, who I think early 2000s, 2003, 2004, 2005, somewhere around there. They actually left a career in Southern California in the fashion industry and sort of had a calling. And they, Frank fell in love with wine, actually, surprisingly, with Philip from Ambith.
Oh, cool.
In Paso Robles. They were in a tasting group together and fell in love with wine. And they just sort of packed everything up, moved their whole family north, and started a winery.
Wow.
And growing and producing, and very
and
early
selling
on,
to VDC.
I am the, other than Philip at Ambith, I'm the only other person that's ever bought fruit from them.
Wow, that's really incredible.
They
actually
make 100%, almost 100% of the grapes they grow, they make them into their wine.
And what's their wine called?
Narrowgate.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
And so, the first year, you know, Frank and Tina were not, you know, it was a learning curve. And when they originally started, and they actually planted everything. They created this vineyard, so it was not there already. It's on this beautiful hillside, sort of like it's like a bowl shaped hillside. They planted everything. They've done everything.
Wow.
And originally, they were told sort of by the people around them, and just sort of to use pesticides and to use all this stuff and to do all this stuff. And Frank actually had this moment. It's kind of a sweet story. His daughter and his son and his dogs would help. Well, dogs wouldn't help, I don't think. Maybe, I don't know.
My dogs are zero help to anything I do in this world.
But his little children would
aside for emotionally, so maybe they are a lot of help.
They'd be helping, or they'd be sitting on the tractors, or they'd be out there just, you know, in the vineyards. And he was spraying, and he's like wearing all this gear, and he's spraying his vineyards, and he's watching his children and his dogs and everybody like out in the vineyards and in their house, and where their house is situated, it's like surrounded by vineyard. And they had this epiphany moment where they were like, holy shit, I'm wearing like these these masks and stuff. Ugh. Spraying these vineyards.
This kind of goes back to what we were talking about in the last episode about how people don't realize how the chemicals also affect people that work
exactly.
in the vineyards, not just
exactly.
the people that are consuming them.
And his moment from what he told me was like, my children and my animals I'm wearing this gas mask, they're not, and they're like out in the field. So he started researching and learning about organic, and then found biodynamic, and is a Demeter certified biodynamic vineyard.
That's sick.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's one of the most
awesome, because no one's getting sick from all the
chemicals. No, you can say sick. Sick is
sick is cool.
But
sick's so cool, I don't know.
The vineyard is amazing, the fruit's amazing. So anyway, Mikey and I made a pet nat out of this fruit. The idea behind it was we were like, God, this fruit is so fucking beautiful. Let's do what's a wine we can make that is going to be like, how do we not, like, how do we just take this beautiful fruit and put it into a bottle? Like, how do we not fuck it up? Like,
well,
what's
and
the
I
thing?
Think you did a great job about it. And just, we're not talking about this wine because Adam made it. And I want to make that clear. Like, Adam's wine stand, like, Adam, to me, is someone that drinks a lot of wine. And while I don't consider myself a critic, I am in, to some degree. And I genuinely love this wine. I genuinely believe that Adam is a very, like, good winemaker. And I have written about his wines in the past and enjoy this wine because I genuinely believe it. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking about it because I'd just be talking shit to his face about it.
Or it's true. She would. Yeah. She would just be like, this is fucking garbage.
No, I'd be like, so I don't like this. Here's how we can make it better. But what's interesting, what's cool is like, so this wine is a Brutal and it's the first domestic Brutal. And it's Grenache. So there's a lot of things going on for me. Like, I tried this wine for the first time earlier this year before Brumaire, where it, like, basically premiered, kind of. And or I guess it was a kind of available before Brumaire. But anyways, it wasn't... I tried the wine skeptical because I'd seen the photos of it where it was, like, literally,
yeah,
like...
it went brown.
It was so fucking brown that I was like, oh, God, Adam, like, what the fuck did you do?
Oh, I felt the same. There was a moment where I showed my wife... like, because Mikey sent me a picture. This was after it had been bottled.
You, and I think you sent it to me. It was, like, so brown.
And I was, like, I was, like, fuck. Because I will
straight
tell you.
Straight doo-doo water.
I will tell you, you know, Frank and Tina gave me a very good deal on their on buying their grapes. But I
shouts
will say.
To Frank and Tina.
Biodynamic fruit is not cheap. It's not a cheap product to buy. So, you know, there was a, like... I'm like, oh shit, we just did we just fuck. So I started.
We just bottled a bunch of shit. Like,
yeah,
literal
it shit
like
water.
Shit.
So I started asking around, actually, and you know, it's the thing that I love about this community, the wine community, is that a lot of people are very open. I have not encountered anybody who's like, nope, sorry, trade secrets, I'm not going to tell you. So I started asking winemakers who I know and trust and respect. I was like, fuck, my wine went brown. What do you think I should do? Like, what has this ever happened to you? What do you think happened? Why do you think this happened? And that's sort of how I came about with the Brutal label.
Well, and as someone that looking at it completely, I mean, not objectively, because that's not, I don't believe in objectivity, but looking at it as someone that even doesn't know you, like drinking it right now, what I love so much about this wine and what I've loved about the bottles before is that they change so much. They're extremely interesting. And, I mean, they change in the glass, which I think is so fun. Like, that's the great part of wine. But as someone that does not love Grenache, like, if someone was like, oh, I'm doing Grenache in California, I'd be like, bye. I don't want anything to do with it. Like, Grenache is already, like, a fucking heavy-ass fruit roll-up. To be done in California, to me, means the it's going to be super, super...
Wait, so you're telling me I should cancel the 600 cases I'm making this year?
No, not if it tastes like this. But... you know, in general, like Grenache is a fruitier, heavier wine, and when it's done in warm climates, it's really, it's big. It's a bigger wine when it's and it's a and it can become a little bit cloying in some ways when it's done in warm climates because it just is so heavy and there's too much sugar. So I was extremely surprised when I found out that this wine was Grenache because I love it, and also it is. So vibrant, so alive, has so much acidity, and is really, really interesting, and doesn't taste anything like you would think.
Well, we picked
does.
It, I believe it. I can't remember if it was 21.5 or 22, but somewhere around 21.5.
That means nothing to
bricks.
People that are listening to this.
Yeah, we picked
it's
it.
Sugar. He's talking about when they.
We picked it at a slightly less than what some people might consider not fully ripe.
But I think that's...
It's ripe. It was ripe fruit. I mean, we ate it and it was ripe.
So Brix is a level of measuring sugar.
Might have been... Hold on, it actually might have been 19.
Doesn't matter. You still picked it on the early side.
We picked it... My Zinfandel, I picked it 21.5. This, oof. I picked at 19. We picked this... So we picked this at a slightly... Like I said, what some people might consider... But I still think it's fruity and it's got ripeness.
No, it is, but
it.
Like... It's
but yes,
Morty,
it went super brown in bottle, like super brown, like
but now it's
caca brown.
It literally looked like doo doo water.
Yeah, now it's
and that's like it hurts me even. Like I would normally just say shit water, but like
no,
it's,
it was
it's doo doo water.
It was
man.
Like bad
was
case
gross,
of diarrhea.
Yeah, it was bad looking. It was bad.
But now it's like this beautiful Fanta orange, Like it's not,
yeah, it's gorgeous. It's a gorgeous color. It's super clean. Adam, I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
It's I'm like, I can't even look him in the eye. I'm like, Adam, I'm proud of you.
I've been told, so we were talking about the Brutal label. So this
So the whole point of this is that, wait, should we get more?
Yeah.
We put it in the freezer. It's really, really good. And I'm not literally not just saying that because.
All right, we've been talking about how good it is for the last.
Well, you're going to cut it up.
No, I'm leaving. Are you kidding me? This is prime. I'm not going to leave. Thank you. It means a lot. It's scary. Making product, as you know, making or writing or putting stuff out into the world is scary. It's not like.
It's horrible.
Yeah. Look at it's. Yeah.
It's gorgeous. So also, wait, before we move on, though, I just want to say that this wine right now reminds me so much of sour beer, but better. Like, it's, like, smoother than a sour beer. Like, it reminds me of stuff I get at the Rare Barrel, which is, like, the only beer I really drink that I, like, love out of Berkeley. Have you had their stuff?
No.
It's fucking incredible. But the color of this and, like this is kind of the perfect wine, I think, that if you have, like, if you have some sort of friend or partner or, I don't know, the dad or, I don't know, just
lover.
A human, a lover. Yeah, just a person in your life. It's no, like, I only drink beer. It's like you could give them this wine and they would probably fucking cum their pants.
Yeah. You wouldn't say lover so much, but you will say cum. Are you so into Kanye West's line on his new album that is we all come from cum or something?
You're the one super into that. I feel the more I listen to Kanye's album, I'm like so on the fence about it.
All right, we don't need to get into
that. We don't need to get into it.
So I've been told by people, and I don't know if it's a compliment, but I'm going to take it as a compliment, where they're like, oh, this is the least brutal.
Yes.
But I would like to make a correction and then say it's actually then the most brutal, because I'm going to tell you how and what the story of Brutal is.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about what Brutal means. So if you go into a natural wine establishment shop, you know, that sort of thing, there's a good chance you probably have seen these labels, which are black with yellow and red and a Grim Reaper on it that say Brutal with 3 exclamation
and
marks.
And it should say in the Grim Reaper, he should be reaping SO2.
Yeah, he's reaping SO2.
So it says SO2 and he's like
The Brutal label itself is kind of an open source design that winemakers can use for a very specific type of wine. But I mean, you can get Brutals right now, right now. I guess it'll come out in a week, but right now you can get Christian Shida's Brutal, which is awesome. They've had Mendal and
what's his name, Jean-Marc,
the Skoda wines.
No. The Alsatian. There's an Alsatian one right now. Jean-Marc something.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, there's...
I know it's Christian Shida. Mendal does one. Pirouettes. Pirouettes has one out right now as well.
Gutegau
has done one. So it's something that a lot of really prestigious winemakers, including Adam Vuvuzelas, have done. So let's talk about what Brutal actually means, Adam.
So the Brutal, I think there's a little bit of a misnomer of what it is. So... I have met, and I guess I'll say no, but I'm not like tight with, but I know I've, you mentioned Mendal, so Loriana Saras of Mendal, and John Ramon Escoda, and Anthony Tortal of La Sorga.
Oh, I'm just kidding.
So those three guys got together. And Loriana Saras and Jean Ramon went to go visit Anthony Tortal at his winery, and they were drinking wine all night, and they kept using their dialect and slang and calling a wine Brutal, and they kept saying, this is Brutal, and Anthony thought that they were saying that his wine was garbage, because in French, Brutal meant bad. And in their dialect, Brutal was slang for good. So there was confusion, and I don't know if anyone knows Anthony Lasorga's wines, but he's like always updating and changing and frequently doing graphic designs. Like his labels are never the same. They're always changing constantly. So he went upstairs, I guess, and quickly created this label, this Brutal label, and brought it down to them. And so it is something that started from there and then is something that they don't own, that nobody owns, and is just a wine that you want to basically consider. It's not Brutal as in it's bad, like Brutal fucked up.
It's not brutal.
It's not brutal. It's like
Brutal.
It's like if in American slang we called it sick.
Yeah.
And we're like, that wine is sick. And it's the same sort of thing. So there's a big confusion where people think that a Brutal wine needs to be like the most fucked up wine. But that's not really the case. What they really kind of want Brutal to be is a wine that you experimented. So you can, if you're like...
Without chemicals, without...
Yeah, that's another thing. It's so got to be...
That's the thing that you're... Like, the thing about this experimentation, about these... They're basically cuvées. Right, yeah. I mean, they're like special cuvées.
Correct.
Cuvée is like a type of. I mean, I guess they're not all blends, maybe, but
no. It's usually just experimentation. Usually,
but that experimentation has to have no chemicals, like zero chemicals.
Zero.
Like
yes.
Absolutely, it's 00, which in the natural wine world is 00 means literally zero anything added, zero anything taken away. Has to be the most pure form. So it is an experimentation, but it has to be experimentation with nature pretty much.
The only restrict, so when I asked for the label, because I was like, hey, I made this wine and it's super fucked up, thinking that fucked up wines were the only wines that sort of were in that
label.
Who did
you email?
Loriano. He replied back to, he said, just make a wine with your heart, meaning... There are no rules to what a Brutal is, or your penis.
Yeah, he might have added that.
There are no rules to how the wine is made. It's not. There are no
rules.
Like,
but there is a rule. The main rule is don't fucking add anything.
But for them, I will say for Loriano, for Jean Ramon, for Anthony Tortal, for a lot of these people. Don't add anything is ubiquitous to anything that they do.
Of course, yeah.
So it's not really
but
the rule.
Maybe not, because well, then why do they have to put the Grim Reaper with the SO2?
Just
because
I think it's tongue in cheek, and I think they're
yeah,
just like
okay.
being. They, yeah, they think
I
they're
mean,
funny.
The winemakers that we're talking about definitely don't add anything, anyways.
So I think there's some confusion because I think some of the wines that were labeled were really fucked up. So people, and like because you're experimenting, because it sort of has become the label that you can experiment. So you experiment and maybe your experiment doesn't work out as well as you thought it would. So you label it with this Brutal label and then you sell it. And it's sort of like a fun way to taste experiments, but it doesn't have to be a fucked up wine. It doesn't have to be an experiment. It's just a way, honestly, I think it's just a way as a community beyond the three guys that started it now with the 20 other labels, I think, that are doing it and around the world. It's kind of like...
Because it is around the world. Like,
yeah,
it's
I think
a,
Australia,
yeah. I think
California now.
I haven't seen anyone from, like, Italy do it, but it's, like, very much, like, you know, obviously in Austria,
yeah.
in Spain, in France, and
yeah.
there's a lot of people doing it.
I think that what it kind of is just sort of, like, a community-building thing in more ways.
Yeah.
And it's, like, a... But it's hard because there's not a lot of explanation about this Brutal, so a lot of people don't understand.
Well,
it.
That's kind of how this podcast came about, was because I didn't really write about it because I was just enjoying the fuck out of it, which is sometimes what happens when you're a wine writer. It's hard to like write about wine every day. Sometimes you just want to enjoy a wine with your friends, and then you're like, fuck, I should have really written about that. But I just had the Christian Schiede Brutal, and it was really, really, really incredible. It was a beautiful wine, and someone DM'd me, I forget who, I'm sorry. But they were like, what is this Brutal thing? Because it doesn't seem to make sense. But it's like, you have to think about it as almost like a, like I was saying, like an open source label for winemakers that are experimenting in the natural wine world, that are trying new things with their heart and like doing, you know, these just fun things.
Yeah, now that I have the label, I can give the label. So
yeah.
I don't know if that's like a rule, but there's like,
so that means I can start making wine?
But like now that I have the Brutal label, I can, if I have a friend who's like, hey, I made this wine, it's pretty, I think it like is...
It's Brutal and I got a printer.
yeah, can we label it? And like, I think I would just answer the same way and be like, just, did you make it with your heart? Because I feel like that's what that's saying. Is it like, as sort of vague as that is, I feel like it for me, it gave me pause a little bit. And I was like, fuck, did I make this wine for money or did I make this wine for love? And like, I made this wine for love.
You can taste it though.
For the love of the vineyards and for the love of just the fruit and really for the love. You can make wine for profit, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that.
No. But yeah.
Yeah. This particular bottling I made. Everything else I make, pure profit. Pure profit.
This all particular, that fuck juice.
This one in particular, yeah, was definitely and there might be other rules that I don't know of because this isn't like an organized.
But that's the thing, that's why it's sort of an open source, unowned sort of just it's a trust thing. You know, it's like you said.
I think I saw recently someone said a single barrel. I don't know if that's accurate or not. I don't know. But
I don't really know because I just drink them.
Yeah.
And I generally enjoy
so
them.
So look out next year. I'm making 700 cases.
A brutal.
What if I was the fuck that just completely was like, this is mine now. And I just took
Everyone be like, of course, he's from L.A. They'd be like, of course the Angelino decides this is ours. But
it's like K-stacked at Whole Foods and it was like, brutal.
It could happen. I mean, there was, I don't know what the Whole Foods are doing these days, but I mean, when downtown first opened, they did try to have a lot of local wines, which was cool. What's interesting and cool to me is about the Brutal is that, yes, it does create even more of a community of winemakers. I think it's really wonderful that it was created and that people are allowed to grow under this label in a weird way because it does allow you to experiment. And even though people may think they're going to be fucked up, like I said, yours is not fucked up. The Christian Sheet I just had was fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
And one of the best wines I've had this year. I mean, I know it's only June. Oh my God, it's June. Blech.
That's halfway.
I know, but one of the best.
So what do you mean only? It's halfway.
It's halfway. I know. Fuck. I was like, I'm like, 2018 started yesterday.
I know.
But it's really cool to bring a group of winemakers together that are allowed to experiment, and also, it's not so much. I hate to use the word capitalize off of a label, but they do get to sell their wines under a label that is more well known, you know.
No, absolutely.
Because
there are some
winemakers that are doing Brutals that aren't that well known, but like the Brutal label is, and it's really awesome that the community has allowed this to happen. And also to kind of segueing into another part of this in terms of Brutal is not the only label that like winemakers share. So a lot of times there will be different labels that are shared by multiple winemakers and they do something every year. And one of those other ones is the La Boutanche wines.
Yeah.
And Adam used to work for Selection Massal, who is an importer who basically kind of orchestrates these La Boutanche wines.
Yeah. So Selection Massal, great. Another great group of people. What's up?
You're like, I just stopped working for them.
Today literally is my first working day not working for that company. So I feel comfortable talking about it.
Well,
in
I
this
love
way.
Them. I mean, like,
me too. I was like, yeah. Corey Guillaume and Tim, shout out. They were one of the founders.
Well, Corey's who got me into natural wine.
Yeah,
I didn't know
everyone knows Corey.
Well,
everyone
I didn't know,
knows
I didn't,
and loves Corey.
Corey started following me on Twitter in like 2011, 2012, just because I was like writing dumb shit about Charles Shaw.
Yeah.
And he thought it was funny, but he was the one that introduced me to natural wine. And the third chapter of my book, like basically thanks Corey for making this my life, you know, and their wines are great. But they have this label.
So yeah, so they
La Boutanche.
As an import company, I think they saw a need for well-made wines in a particular price point. And so they created this La Boutanche label, which is a lot of people have seen them. They're the
labels are amazing.
Yeah,
they're
these single color labels. No, each winemaker has an animal deity,
but
basically.
So like there's some with like a French bulldog, there's some with a pig, there's
grasshopper.
Some with, there's a grasshopper.
There's a trout,
yeah. I think the Sauvignon Blanc with the trout and the varsity jacket was one of the first ones I tried.
That's France Saumon is the trout.
So you know, and it doesn't I think doesn't
or the salmon, maybe.
I mean, there a ton of winemakers do it in the Selection Missal book.
Yeah, there's...
Lassat de L'Ange, I know, does one.
Yeah. Quinton is the Bulldog. And then... what's
come
his
on.
Name?
Hold I know
on.
You just stopped working yesterday, but... The Grasshopper is a Riesling.
No, yeah, the Grasshopper is... What's his name from Germany? I can't believe...
Riesling guy.
Knoss.
Oh, yes,
Andy.
Knoss, yeah.
And then the... What else did we
the
say?
Trout. The Trout.
No, that's yeah, Fran- yeah. France.
Wait, but who in France?
France Simon. That's the
oh,
name.
Oh, great,
F-R-A-N-T-Z.
I was like, I know it's from France.
Anyway, yeah, so what they do is they work with... Oh, and then Olivier Minot.
Yes.
And I can't remember what his... What his
is
little...
It a, oh, my God, it's...
His little deity is... Is he the bulldog?
I don't...
He's the French bulldog.
So, anyways, there's a bunch of them.
And they... basically, what Selection Missal does is they work with their with the producers that they import, and the producers will make a wine specifically for the La Boutange series. And it's almost all of them. The only person that doesn't do liter bottles is France Simon. I think some he will be. I think he now does, but yeah. I think now everyone is doing liter bottles,
which is so great. The price point on them is incredible.
Yeah, it's and they're usually under $20 retail.
I think that they used. I think they're now at 20. They used to be right under 20. I feel like they're like. I feel like they used to be at like 16, and now they're like.
Well, yeah.
You know, I mean, as the world changes.
Yeah, exactly.
In so many different ways, I think it's like right about $20. But for a $20 liter,
yeah,
liter
you're
bottle,
getting you're
like,
getting natural wine, and it's.
I'm
all
actually,
totally chuggable. Wow, this is gross. It's all totally chuggable.
You're
it's
just
all
being me this time. You're not even drinking LaCroix. I gave you
I know.
Flat
I
water.
I'm drinking bubbles. Do you? This is good.
It's so. I finished mine. I've been waiting. But it's actually interesting to me, though, that the bovine, the Villamod, like. I,
oh,
I don't
he does.
Know.
I can't remember if he does.
Does he? I don't know if he does. I feel like he may. He
the
might.
Bovine is kind of.
The bovine is
how
like.
How good was that this year?
Good. I mean, I still have it like in my fridge that I opened yesterday that I. Still need to finish when
I think
it's
the best vintage
of
that wine I've had this year. Or this year is the best vintage of that wine I've had.
I think it's one of the better ones, yeah. I've had it for the last couple of years, and it's always a really... But it's a
now
it's
we're
another
really talking... We're talking about a different wine than
well,
Selection
no, but
Missal imports.
Hervé-Mod. Hervé-Mod is does a liter of Gamay called the Bovin that's
yeah.
also awesome. So, I mean, but I'm almost surprised that it's not a part of the La Boutange, but he's in the same price point, but... Regardless, but it's cool to me that, you know, there's a lot of talk about community and the natural wine versus that and whatever the fuck. But the truth is, I feel like there are so many examples of the natural wine community working together to create community, you know, more community and like make that more accessible to others because it would be so easy for these winemakers, whether it's the Brutal release.
Yeah.
And to be clear, the Brutal releases are much more allocated, or much smaller, whatever. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have the La Boutange wines, which are made to be consumed, you know, at kind
yeah,
of
yeah, hopefully
quality,
as available as possible.
As available as possible. But the cool thing about both of these is that it's really working towards getting more people interested in natural wine one way or the other, whether it's through a like on the La Boutange level, it's like leaders in, you know, with great, they're great wines with great price points in leaders and they're all working together. Or there's the Brutal side of it, which are, you know, winemakers that are all experimenting and then still working under the same label to kind of get these experiments out. You're both of these kind of ideas are working towards getting natural wine out into the public more.
Yeah, and I think
ways.
That there's like a exactly, and there's like a trust as a consumer. You're like, oh, I've had a Brutal before. Have I had a La Boutange before? And maybe it's not exactly the same one that you had before, but it's kind of like when you talk about go with the importer, like
yes,
turn
absolutely.
Your bottle around. This is just instead of turning your bottle around,
you know,
you're
just
like,
looking
oh,
at
the
label.
La
Boutange.
Yeah.
La Boutange, I know, is a collective of different winemakers that are all under, you know, this.
Yeah.
I think the Brutal could be a little bit sketchier.
Well, yeah, but Brutal's
but that's what you're going for. Like,
it's like fun and experimental.
Exactly. And like sometimes that's not going to be the best wine ever. Like it might sometimes it might be fucked up but other times it might be delicious and you know, that's part of the highs and lows of making natural wine in general.
Yeah, and I think that's also the fun of buying the Brutal is if by chance you're buying it without, I hope you're not buying it from a place that has never tasted it before. I hope you're going somewhere where people know it. But let's say you're given a bottle or you end up with a bottle where the person around you's never tasted it. At least you know, you're like, well, this is going to be a fun little jaunt.
Yeah.
This is going to be a ditty.
Well, I think that a lot of people don't buy the Brutals unless, you know, they're drinking fairly well.
It's a pretty hip, cool, like, I feel like Brutals have done pretty well on social
media.
You're
like, so listen, I totally got into the Brutal label because it's very hip on Instagram. I was looking for the most Instagrammable.
No, it's actually, like I said, it was born out of complete fear. It was, have 25 cases of wine.
Like I said, I honestly have no problem not promoting Adam's wines. But this is, I mean, are you going to pour me more?
Yeah.
Great. I don't promote wines that I don't love, and that is regardless of who makes them. There are people that I absolutely fucking love that make some really shitty fucking wines, and I can't promote them. But I feel really,
It means a lot.
It should.
You're like, yeah, how much?
Yeah, it should. How much? I'm like, I know how much. We spend a lot of time together. but, you know, there are some Brutals that are brutal, and there's some that are not. I think that Adams is not, and I really, really love it. It's also I think it's the first sparkling Brutal I've ever had.
Yeah, I might not know of
I've never seen another one. That's not to say that they don't exist, but it's a really cool thing. And I just, like I said, someone asked me about it, and I thought it was great because Adam has made a Brutal himself that we're now drinking. And Adam, on that note, do you have any plans on making this wine again? Or are you
I'm going to make this exact wine again.
But not label it as Brutal?
I don't know if I'm going to label it as Brutal because I only labeled it.
Is it going to be the wine with me on it?
It's going to be the Marissa Ross
wine.
Yes,
fine. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't think we're going to label it Brutal again because
You should label it PIDS.
PIDS? Oh, my dog.
Your dog.
It's not a bad idea.
No, it's a great idea. you heard it here first. MTV News.
But I will make another Brutal this year, which is going to be a different experiment. I don't know. I already know what I'm going to do, but I'm...
Don't say it.
Yeah, yeah, I'm keeping it a secret in my head.
Well, this was so good. And like I said earlier...
But yeah, and this was just...
I kind of fucking hate Grenache. I really don't like Grenache.
This doesn't...
And I'm so hard on it. I actually... What's interesting to me, too, is that this actually reminds me so much of... what they call in Spain the hairy Grenache, which is a...
No, I don't know that.
So it's like a...
That's like a weird Spanish prank where someone puts their nuts on your head and they're like, yeah, it's a hairy Grenache.
We've already talked about... Anyways, as I was saying, hairy Grenache in Spain has a bit more acidity to it than Grenache as we normally think about it. So to me, this wine was so exceptional because it has so much acidity. It's not cloying. It's really fun and incredible. And honestly, yeah, like I said, I was very proud of Adam. I drank it and I was like, yeah, Adam. Not that I wasn't proud of you for the Zinfandel, but the Zinfandel felt easier.
A way different beast.
Well, no, it just felt easier.
Yeah.
And like, no offense.
No, I know exactly
it's
what
like
you're saying.
We're in California.
Yeah.
Like Zinfandel is kind of like an easy choice, but this was not an easy choice to make a... Also, too, going back to this wine... What's the skin contact on this? Because it is a golden yellow, it's like a golden, golden.
Mikey and I picked the grapes at 20? So Mikey and I, we picked the grapes in the morning in Placerville. This is a part where I'm like trying to figure this out because I don't feel like this is very eco-friendly, but because we had to drive. We had to drive so much. So we drove from Central Coast to Placerville.
So you get the grapes from Placerville.
So yeah, we did 100%. So it was a whole cluster, 7 days.
So carbonic?
Partial.
And by partial carbonic, so for those of you that don't know, carbonic maceration is when, I think we've gone through it before, but just as a refresh, it's when full clusters of grapes are put into tanks and they are allowed to ferment within their own grape skins versus the juice fermenting. But so when you say partially,
this wasn't whole cluster in tanks.
Okay, so
this was in bins.
Okay, so you say whole cluster in bins, so they started fermenting in bin and started like kind of crushing themselves.
Correct.
Okay.
And then that was 7 days.
So 7 days of skin contact.
But I'd say 75% were still whole cluster.
But I mean, what were the color of the grapes when you picked it? Because I mean, this looks
like... They were red.
That's crazy to me. It was 7 days in whole, or you know, semi-carbonic kind of situation. Because if you look at Adam's Brutal, it looks like a beautiful golden amber brew, dude.
Yeah.
Like it looks like a beer, like a really, really pretty beer.
Yeah.
So...
Like apricot-y.
But and so it wasn't Grenache Gris, like it wasn't. Well,
nope,
mean,
Grenache Noir.
That is fucking bananas.
I know, it's really a bizarre thing.
Adam, are you lying to me?
So something I learned, and something I think Mikey learned also, because Mikey doesn't work a lot with Grenache, he works more with Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, is Grenache oxidizes.
I know, but the color of this is. Not anything you would think of Grenache. It's an anomaly to me in my mind. Like
yeah,
not,
no, I get
not
it.
In the world,
it.
But like
it looks like a skin contact white wine.
7 days?
7 days.
How did the fuck did it not turn red?
Because it wasn't. They weren't. Like I said, it was like I don't know. I don't know. I don't have an answer for you.
Man, this is crazy. Sorry, I'm sorry. I'm.
We were really gentle. We were really
listeners,
gentle.
Listeners, I'm learning along with you, and I'm just like,
I don't really have an answer,
though.
How the
fuck is this possible?
I don't have an answer.
Well, the great news is it's great. And I think that the Brutal model, the La Boutanche model, are really, really great for the natural wine community and also the industry moving forward. I think that these labels that are pushed by... not just necessarily winemakers, but also individual importers, can actually boost the natural wine community in a lot of ways. You know, if people start banding together and kind of doing these labels or cuvées and these things that are a bit more recognizable on shelves, that will actually help, you know, rising tides raise all ships. Like, I feel like these are excellent examples of how the natural wine community bands together to bring everyone up and do really wonderful things together.
Yeah.
And I hope that more importers or, you know, or just more winemakers start doing this sort of thing. Cause I think it's really, really great.
I think we all have to work together. I think it's definitely something that needs to be a community effort.
Absolutely.
And like you, oh man,
Rick,
more. Should we just burp for,
I can't burp on command.
But I think that, like, I think, yeah, it's totally about, like, I worked with Mikey, who owns a wine company on his own. Like, I work with a lot of people who also already have wineries and wine company, like, wine labels and stuff. Like, it's not about, like, I don't fight with the people who are also making wines in California. I support them. And, like,
yes.
If, for instance, if I'm selling my wine and I go to an account and... I don't know if this is like a real situation or not, but like where my wines don't work, but I think that somebody I know's wines will, I'll call them or hit them up or text them and be like, hey, check out, you should go to this restaurant. I think that your
Absolutely.
Wines would work really well. And it's like this really like.
It's more of a collaborative and like friendly community than I think than some of the media is portraying us as.
Yeah, we're really, it is about like camaraderie and.
I mean, don't get me wrong. People are fucking competitive.
Oh, and we talk shit about everybody. No, but like, no, of course, this is a capitalist society. There is an aspect of it that we need to make money.
Well, no, and also people just have hate.
But we need to make, the only way we can make money is if we all succeed.
Absolutely. And. I just think that the Brutal labels and the La Boutanche, and I know I've already talked to some importers that are planning on doing similar things with, you know, different cuvées and things that, you know, may not be every year, is really cool and does create a great sense of community and really shows, I think, what the natural wine community stands for. Like, we actually do stand for our beliefs, and it is regardless of who believes those things. You know, it's like whoever, like, it is, as Disney as it sounds, like, it is make something from your heart. It is make something that is true to the environment, and by all means use, like, the Brutal label, just like, you know, the Labatage thing is like, hey, make a wine that goes under this, that falls under this, blah, 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 blah. And getting the wines out there more, just in front of more people, and having them, also it helps with people trying different producers. Like, perhaps they would never try a producer. Like, they might not, they might be like, VDC, what the fuck is that? But then they can see the Brutal label and be like, oh, I know that that might be good. Just like, they might not buy, like, a wine from Andy Knoss because they might think that Riesling is too sweet, which is a fucking lie. But they've had the La Boutange from La Sotte de L'Ange.
Yeah.
And, like, they, so it's, it really is a, I think these labels are such a gesture of how the community really, really works together.
Well, I was going to say, for me too, like, there's this weird, there is a kind of, I think California, obviously there are great producers in California, but still there is a certain demographic of drinker that still is, like, afraid of California wine drinking for some reason.
I think that's across, I don't think that's California exclusive. I think that's around everywhere, because even after I wrote I did a big spread about California wine, I guess now, holy shit, like 2 years ago for Bon Appetit. Yeah. 2 years ago for Bon Appetit, my bosses in New York were like, oh, I hadn't ordered California wine in years until then. So I think that the fear of California wine from the 90s and from the grocery stores lingers on regardless of California or New York or even anywhere. I think that people are afraid of us.
So I felt like doing a Brutal as a California looks sort of, it was this big bridge, and it was this sort of like, no, we're doing things that, even over, you know, in France or in Spain or these other places where you feel like that's the wine you, oh, I only drink French wine or whatever it is. This is a bridge that's like, no, we're all in this, and we can make those wines here. They're uniquely Californian. They're not going to be exactly like those wines because of whatever reasons, but you want me to say terroir. I know you do. I can see it. You want me to be like, because of terroir, but...
I'm not saying anything.
But
you know it's fucking true.
Yeah, but
just say it. You know.
Yeah, the terroir. Good. I would say this wine is a very terroir-driven wine. Just,
I might argue on that.
Oh, because really? No, we don't have to get into it.
I mean, it's a little. I feel like the carbonic takes away from the terroir a little bit, but I mean, it's. I feel like it's more terroir-driven than it is varietal-driven.
It's a very made wine.
It's a very what?
Made wine. Like, this was like, we made this wine.
Yes. I think it's ambiguous in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But I think it has more terroir and, like, minerality than it does varietal.
All right, I'll take that.
Like, I'm sorry. Absolutely. Like, if you blinded this, you would never in a billion years think it was fucking Grenache.
No. Would you guess California?
Hold on.
See, that's what I'm getting at. Like, I don't know if people would guess California. I don't think
I'd guess California. Because even though it smells a bit California on the nose, it doesn't taste California.
So, like, I think that, you know, we can... It's fun. I don't know.
Terroir's real, is what you're saying.
Fuck. I painted myself into a corner.
Goodbye.
Yeah, bye. Is that it? Bye?
I mean, I just want to end on a high note. I'm like, hey, thank you so much to our guest, Adam Vorvalis.
I could want to say something.
Thank you so much to our guest, Adam Vorvalis.
Yeah, could I just say one thing?
Of VDC Wines.
I feel really awkward doing this, and I don't know if Marissa can see I'm blushing, but it helps a lot if you like and comment on our...
Oh, yeah, he is blushing. No, so real quick... I'll take over from here because
yeah,
I'm really.
I'm like sweating now.
I know I thought he was gonna be like, "Thank you so much for liking my wine." I'm like, "You've already said that before." Hey, you guys are DMing me and Adam, and also our Instagram at Natural Disasters Pod, which thank you for following. But you were sending us so many great notes and saying how much you love it, which we really, really appreciate.
Even if we don't reply back.
I just want you to know it is being. Is being received, and we love it so much. But as much as those DMs and those compliments to us really, really help, what helps us more is actually if you rate the podcast on whatever you're listening to it on, whether that be, you know, iTunes or Stitcher or SoundCloud. I don't know how it works, but if you have comments for me and Adam, instead of taking that time to send those comments to us, if you could put them into a rating, hopefully 5 stars. If not, it's fine, whatever. I mean, I'm never going to forgive you and I love revenge, but it's fine. I'm just kidding.
She will hunt you down.
No, I won't. Please. But I mean, if you can take those ratings, put them on your podcast listening website of choice, because it really actually does help us a lot, and we're doing a great job. And haters are usually louder than lovers, and by usually I mean always. So we get a lot of hate, and we get a lot, but we get a lot of love, and like that love, we just need to put out of our DMs and into the place where it matters. That was a rambling way of just saying, hey, please rate, comment,
rate,
subscribe.
Follow, and hit up the comments below.
Rate, subscribe, comment.
You know, this is a podcast. They can't see you do that.
I know. I just took my new short hair, and I, like, raised it, and then I was like
she bumped it up.
Anyways, just...
It just helps. It helps with the visibility for the podcast.
Yeah, it also helps with my self-esteem.
Yeah, that's true. Also, self-esteem.
Subscribe, rate, like, comment, be chill, drink cool wines, natural wine rules, but we're not against other people that don't drink natural wine, and we're just fun stuff. Adam and Marissa, just fun stuff podcast. Here we go. Goodbye.
Bye.